This podcast is sponsored by Ramp. Are you the decision maker in your company? Consider this. For the first time in decades, there's a better option for a corporate card and spend management platform. Meet Ramp, the only corporate card and spend management system designed to help you spend less money so you can make more. Most corporate credit cards offer points as incentives, but those points amount to less than their worth in real cash value. Ramp's business cards offer you cash back, real money in your pocket. Plus, you control who spends what with each vendor. And Ramp software collects and verifies receipts automatically, which means you'll stop wasteful spending and close your books in hours instead of days. Businesses that use Ramp add up to 5% to their bottom line the first year. If you're a decision maker, adding Ramp could be one of the best decisions you've ever made. And now get $250 when you join Ramp for free. Just go to ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy.
Cards issued by Sutton Bank and Celtic Bank, members FDIC. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey everybody, Dan here. This is a short sample of our latest monthly mailbag podcast that is only available exclusively at patreon.com/islandersanxiety. The full episode is damn near 2 hours long, and so I thought it'd be fun to put out a short sample. This is about first 25 minutes or so to show you all what the monthly mailbag episodes are like and to maybe get you to sign up over at the Patreon. You get ad-free episodes of Islanders Anxiety and Weird Islanders, so if you don't want to hear the ads, best way to avoid them is to sign up over at the Patreon. But you also get Mike's long-suffering newsletter, you get my Islanders book club, and if you sign up for Country Club tier throughout the month of December, you will also get an Islanders Anxiety Club iron-on patch, which is just the coolest thing ever. So get on over to patreon.com/islandersanxiety, sign up today, and enjoy great stuff like this monthly mailbag episode. Thanks a lot, and enjoy. Hello, it's the monthly mailbag exclusively for Country Club tier subscribers at the Islanders Anxiety Patreon page. Thank you so much for your support, for your dinero, and for your voluminous amount of questions. We might go all night tonight, Mike. Are you ready to dive in? Because we got a lot, and people have a lot of intricate, complex issues they want to talk about, because this has been a pretty wild week.
I am happy to go all night, because I said to one of my friends today that this was the first off day all season where I missed the Islanders. Like, I missed them. I was like, I wish they were playing all day today.
That's impressive.
I'm happy to go all night if we have to, because I just want to talk Islanders right now.
It's a good time. We're coming off of two wins. Got two big games coming up this weekend, and so people have lots and lots of different questions about lots of different topics, so we're going to dive right in. Some of these have been edited for brevity, because we do want to try and get in as many as we can, so a couple of them have gotten a little bit shortened, but I think we're going to do a good job. Okay, and it will not surprise anybody to find that the first topic of tonight is the Toronto Maple Leafs and their captain, who just made a visit to UBS Arena. So we're going to start with our buddy Nick Giglia, who asks, how amusing does it continue to be that the Toronto media spent 9 years telling Pajama Boy first to hold out and not sign with the Isles and then leave for Toronto, only to spend every minute since that infamous picture telling Isles fans how to feel about it? I don't think I've ever seen another instance where everyone just decided a fan base needs to be policed like this. It is amusing. And I think what Nick is getting at, and this is where I'll throw it to you, I can't recall one fan base telling another fan base how to act in a given situation across all sports. Like, I know that, you know, the teams have like rivalries and stuff like that. I don't remember seeing this many people telling another fan base, you can't do that, and the rest of the other fan base is being like, nah, I think we're going to keep on doing it. Do you remember? Do you think of anything like this? I mean,
no, especially when it's this, like,
right.
Yeah, you'll see, you know, fan bases do something stupid. Mm. Someone does something stupid, and they'll call them trash fans or whatever, and that happens. I've never seen anything like this, and I think that is a huge part of why we talk about this all the time, and why this is still a huge talking point, is that we have to go through this every twice a year, basically, since 2019, because they, as a whole, not, and it's not just the fan. Oh, I guess they're part of the fan base up there. The Toronto media,
they're a different arm still, of the fan base.
They still don't get it. Right. They don't understand the irony and the we're all looking for the guys who did this situation that's going on, and it's so on the nose maybe that they can't see it. Because I've never seen anything like that, and that's part of the whole, that it's part of the entire equation, is that we're trying to point that out. Like, this isn't a real thing. This isn't, this doesn't happen. This isn't supposed to happen in society and sports. This is a very weird situation going on, and we're not the ones who are making it weird. We're doing the natural thing here. We're the ones who are acting. We're acting irrationally in terms of like society, because you don't go into society, like you don't go into the coffee shop and boo somebody. Mm. But in terms of sporting culture, we're the ones acting rationally here and doing what we're supposed to do, the natural instinct. And we're being painted like we're crossing the line. And the more and more I think about it, the more and more I go back to the return game. And I did a Twitter search that I'll go into more on Islanders Anxiety on Sunday night, that where I like filtered for the exact date, and I just Twitter searched Islanders Tavares Draeger, and the results were unbelievable. Scott Wheeler was just absolutely out of pocket with the way he was tweeting, but it was. It's very strange. So you're totally right, Nick.
I agree. And our friend Arthur Staple wrote a nice piece for The Athletic that was talked about on the Kipper and Bourne show this week about, you know, how what people up north don't still get about the Islanders booing Tavares. And he made the connection between us booing John Tavares and the Pot Van Sucks chant. And I think he's kind of spot on about that. And in reading Nick's question, it made me think about that. And I was like, you know, as much as Islanders fans don't like it, I don't know if we've ever said to Rangers fans, don't do that. You're not allowed to do that. That's wrong. You can't do that. Like, it's just part of the gig. Like, when you're an Islanders fan, and I think a lot of this comes from having, you know, brothers and sisters and moms and dads, whoever, that are Rangers fans, like, it's just part of the gig. So when, you know, you go to a game at MSG, you know you're going to hear it, you know? And I mean, it's funny because I've seen more articles about Rangers fans should stop doing that from other Rangers fans than I ever have from any Islanders fans, who have never, as far as I know, ever said it. I mean, we might not like it, sucks, but it's really more, I think most Islanders fans feel it's more stupid than anything else. I mean, the guy's a Hall of Famer. He's one of the 10 or maybe 5 best defensemen who ever played the game. So the whole thing has been very ironically stupid for so long that nobody cares, but you know, we just let them do it because they're going to do it anyway, no matter what. And so but it doesn't really work that way when it comes to the Maple Leafs captain. So yeah, it is an interesting scenario, and it only happens to us, as we know the Islanders are, they're good at collecting situations like that. So thanks, Nick. That's a great question and a great way to start us off. Elite Twisters has another Leafs related thing, and this involves a couple of friends of ours and their podcast. One of the funniest lack of awareness plagued things I've ever heard was Jeff saying to Elliot, "Don't you feel like the NHL needs an evil empire team? A la the Yankees, Astros, Cowboys, and Patriots." Elliot, of course, agreed. Do they not realize, and what Elite Twisters is saying, do they not realize that they are part of the evil empire? You actually talked to both of these guys, and you have kind of cut text conversations with them, and you've made it pretty clear to me that they definitely don't realize that the Leafs are definitely the evil empire, and they are as much a part of that evil empire as John Tavares and any other players on the ice.
Yep. Yeah, I'm glad that Elite Twisters picked up on this, because we had this conversation in our group chat right away. I was like, they just spent 15 minutes, the first 15 minutes, talking about how the NHL needs a villain. And once again,
right,
I'll say, we're all looking for the guy who did this. Jeff was like, it should be the Rangers. I want it to be the Rangers. Like, yeah, they are. Like, a lot of people hate the Rangers already. We have them.
Right.
But there is a evil empire here. They are once again, maybe too close. This is an Occam's razor situation. I don't know. Like that they just don't realize it. And I guess part of it is that they haven't won since a Stanley Cup since 1967. So maybe that's part of it, I guess. But still, and I'm not talking about one of these like cheap Twitter polls that these chart monger accounts put up where it's like, you know, who would you rather have, Johnny Gaudreau or Bo Horvat? Like, if you made a gods to honest poll with every fan base, every fan who watches, 80% or more of the NHL season for their team, who their least favorite team is, I'm pretty sure we all know who would be number one on that list.
for sure. And, you know, I give these other teams that are mentioned here, the Yankees, Cowboys, Patriots, and Astros, a little bit of credit. They lean into that. I mean, I've never met a Yankees fan that didn't appreciate and kind of revel in being the evil empire. Like, that's just how it is, you know? I mean, again, when you're rooting for a team that spends the most money, and I mean, you could probably throw the Dodgers on that list too. When you root for a team that spends the most money and expects to win, you're damn right we're going to be the evil empire. But there's one team that just won't get it, and they will never, ever see themselves as that.
And I also will add real quick that one thing I wish that other Canadian fan bases recognize, and they start to pick up on it every now and then when the Islanders, maybe Tavares comes or whatever, like the Senators fans, Canucks fans, hey, we hate the Leafs a lot, just like you do. And we'd love to talk about it, because I've had conversations with a good friend of mine who's a Habs fan, two of them, about it. And it took a little while for them to realize just how deep this hatred is and how legitimate it is. It's not like they beat us in a playoff series thing. It's there are layers to this hatred. There's nuance to it. There's some serious, complicated, got to sit on a shrinking chair to sort it out sort of hatred going on here. So, if you know any of those folks, I always try to pass along, our Maple Leafs discussions on Islanders' anxiety to them. And I know that they've gotten around a bit up there. So,
that's cool.
Keep doing that if you can.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, there's a lot of similar feelings there. But thank you, Elite Twisters. That's a great question. Speaking of spending money and John Tavares, Matt S. asks, does Tavares sign an extension with Toronto next year? I kind of hope he does, because I don't think I have that room in my heart to hate yet another team if he decides to move on. In any case, I'm excited for the media circus on the subject next season. I think this is a really good question. And I'm obviously, you know, we can't predict the future. I think it kind of goes either one of two ways. Now, he's only going to be, so he's a free agent at the end of next year. I guess he'll be, 34, I guess. So, you know, assuming he doesn't slow down that much, he might still command quite a bit of dough. He might just want to sign some kind of like 1 year, you know, minimum contract deal. Or what I'm thinking is they might just want to walk away completely and get a new captain, you know, whether it's Austin Matthews or somebody else, and use that money on somebody else. In which case, I think the funniest possible thing ever would be Tavares signing with Montreal, or better still, Ottawa. I think it would be really funny. I don't know. It's a good question. I don't think it's necessarily a given, although I don't think it's necessarily, you know, I don't think we can assume that he's going to leave right away. What do you think? Do you think that he's going to re-sign there, or you think they'll just be like, listen, man, thanks, but we need to move on. It's a new era up here.
Yeah, it's something that I've wrestled with actually quite a bit over these last couple of weeks. For me, the best case scenario is the Leafs buy him out or find a trade, like a trade partner at the end of this year, because they got to re-sign Nylander. The situation for them would be they'll probably need to get one of Marner or Tavares off the books, at least according to our friend Nick Kiprios. He says that the situation would probably call for one of them to go. For it to be Tavares, they'd probably have to retain some salary or buy him out. But I don't even know if they can buy him out. I can't remember what the situation is with no movement clauses. Either way, the best case scenario to me is that he kind of leaves in a jilted fashion, and that sours the tenure, because there'd be nothing sweeter to me than this guy signing like a kind of almost like a Claude Giroux situation with the Senators, like a 2 or 3 year deal to go play for Minnesota or Winnipeg or Buffalo or something like that. That would be so nice, because it just completely de-stresses the whole situation, where as a contract extension where he like signs a cheaper deal, everyone would be like, oh my God, what a guy. Hometown discount. This is so good. Johnny Toronto. Like he knows the situation, and he knows that for this team to succeed, he's got to take a huge discount. I don't want to deal with that. So I'm afraid of that. I would say it's 50-50, which is pretty scary.
Yeah. And then he'd like give up the C and like, wow, what a guy. I will say this, and I don't know if we're going to talk about this on Anxiety. It might come up, but I reserve the right to bring it up there too. A lot of people have talked about, Art brought up again on the Kiprios show, whether or not, you know, there'd be an olive branch. Maybe the Islanders would reach out about maybe possible reunion. I don't know if I can necessarily see that happening. I don't think he would want to come back here. And I don't think they would necessarily want him. Although again, it depends on what his skill level is at that time. I do think though, if he did come back to the Islanders, that would say more about him than them and us. You know, I mean, we've made our feelings, I think, pretty clear. Even if you're not one of the ones booing, I think it's pretty obvious that we don't like the guy anymore, even if you're kind of ambivalent to him. You know, the team might see some value in him at that age, depending on what he can do. But I think if he signs here, it's sort of like a tacit admission that I fucked up. I fucked up when I left. I thought I was doing the right thing, and I didn't. And these people were mad at me, and they were right. And which would be funny, because then everybody who's been defending him this whole time will have to be like, oh, yeah, I guess he was probably right. They were right, and he's saying they were right, so I guess they were right. So I don't know about that. I will say, though, one other part, the other part of Matt's question is having to hate another team if he goes there. I'll tell you right now, if he ends up signing with another team or ends up getting traded to someplace like that, I really wouldn't hate him anymore at that point. Like that, it would be done. The chapter would be closed. You know, like it would be done. As long as he is on the Leafs, then I hate him. But if he's an Ottawa Senator, I mean, I just, you know, at that point, he's just another guy.
Like, yeah. I wouldn't want him to, you know, ever win a Stanley Cup, but
no.
It definitely would. How about like, it almost, like I said, worst case scenario would be him winning a Stanley Cup on the Leafs.
Yeah.
There would be a little bit of humor if he wins the Stanley Cup like the season after with the LA Kings or something, right. You know? There'd be like a slight little bit of me that inside is like, oh, that's great.
That would be really funny. Yeah. Right. Or he's like the Eddie Olczyk thing where he doesn't actually play. He's just like he gets traded there, and he's just like on the roster.
Yeah, skates out with no equipment on to lift the cut with the kicks. Yeah.
That would be really funny. So, yeah. So there's a lot of different ways you can go. But again, I definitely don't think it's a given that he signs there again, but we don't know. So we'll have to see what happens. But that is a great question, Matt. Thanks. Will asks a question I've been waiting to answer because I have a definitive answer for this. Does it bother anyone else that they changed JT's pronunciation from Tavares to the clearly snootier Tavares? And what's the biggest difference to you guys between Long Island Tavares and Toronto Maple Leafs Tavares? Yes, it bothers me. It bothers me a great deal because he was Tavares. The team media guide spelled it out pronunciation wise as Tavares. Howie Rose said Tavares. Brendan Burke said Tavares. You know, they're not going to screw it up. That's their job, right? So what they say goes. And then all of a sudden he goes up there and he's Tavares. Like, come on, give me a break. You get lost. What you do? Are we too stupid to say Tavares? You're talking about Long Island where half the population is Italian. And we couldn't say Tavares. If that was it, you should have just told us. That's really annoying. The biggest difference between Long Island Tavares and Maple Leafs Tavares is that he has help here with the Leafs, whereas with the Islanders, he seemed to have to do a lot more. And I think that probably hastened the rapid deterioration of his career. What do you think about the name change, and what are your differences between Long Island version and Toronto version?
Yeah, I think this is a great question. I don't need to add anything else. It's just a perfectly petty, beautiful thing to pick up on by Will. This is what it's all about right here.
Definitely, definitely. Great question. Thank you, Will. Great stuff. David asks, do you think Lou stopped by the losing locker room Monday night to congratulate Tavares on his, quote, individual success? Seriously, does it look like that guy will get a banner anywhere now? I'll throw it right to you. A, Do you think Lou stopped by and said, great individual success on that game that we won? And do you think he'll get a banner anywhere now? I guess meaning like a, are they going to retire his number? You think the Leafs would retire Tavares' number?
Yeah, I think that they will, which is kind of funny. Like, here's another situation I'm rooting for. They flame out this year. Don't do anything. He leaves. And they still give it to him because almost like that Tavares Day Toronto situation after the Islanders fan base just
right.
absolutely demoralized him. That, you know, that getting that whole all the hoopla around it made him feel uncomfortable, and he knew it was cringy because he's like we know he's a robot and right. And all that, and very devoid of a personality. But he definitely isn't an idiot. And yeah. I was like, God, this is kind of embarrassing. Whereas if the Leafs raise his number to the rafters, sure, like that's a great honor for the guy. But he'd be like, didn't really do anything to deserve this. Won one playoff round, and knocking on wood, if they do flame out, like my era would. Pound for pound, dollar spent. You know, if you look at the ROI on dollars spent, probably the least successful team in the NHL salary cap, considering who we've had. So, I'd almost enjoy it if they did. Be like, this is so great that they you know, this is another situation where they just don't realize how kind of embarrassing and cringy this is. Yeah.
The Leafs also don't do like retired numbers. Like they have honored. Numbers. So like, I remember there was a big thing because like Dave Keon, who was one of the better Leafs in the 60s and 70s, wore 14, and they have it honored as a banner for Dave Keon, I think, hanging in the rafters. But like Jonas Hoglund wore 14 for a long time in the 90s and 2000. So it's you know, they have kind of a weird thing up there. I guess the Habs have sort of a weird thing like that too. Well, they just, I think, just retire stuff. So I don't know. I mean, if it ends without a cup, no, I don't know. And if it does, you know, and they do retire it, I think people will kind of be like, well, I guess, all right. But you know, we're just hoping that it, whatever happens with him and the rest of this tenure there, it is as unsuccessful as possible. Last Tavares question, and we thank you for bearing with us through this time. We had to get these over with very quickly, is Maximilian, who asks, what's y'all's favorite piece of advice from Toronto in regards of how we should have reacted to JT's 1,000? Did you pick up in any particular sort of piece of advice from
Leafs
people?
Carlo Koliakovo was he was not the only person to have this advice for us. There was also former Canucks staffer Rachel Dory, who said that the New York Islander fans should have applauded and recognized the moment and then gone back to booing, which I mean, that's what fans do, right? You know, you get 16,000 people all on the same page to do a little tete-a-tete like that. That's that's fandom. And these people totally understand what the fan experience, if that's what they're calling for. They've nailed it on the head. Everybody okay, everybody stand up. 1,000 point. We all stand up and we'll be all organized. Disregard the fact that there's 7 seconds left and this team just blew another third period lead.
Right.
To one of our bitter rivals. Just disregard that for a second because we need to acknowledge the moment and applaud the biggest villain for our franchise. These people are once again and there were a couple people, I think who was it? It was like, Carlo, this is
oh, it was Wyshynski.
Greg Wyshynski.
I mean, I was going to say kudos to Wyshynski for replying to Koliakovo. This is an insane take.
Yeah,
and Koliakovo was like, what, showing respect? And he's like, no, like telling people who've been booing this guy for 6 years to stop booing for 5 minutes to golf clap and then go right back to booing again. Like, what are you talking about? So good on Wish for recognizing the situation again as a fan.
Oh, my Lord. There's so much of me just wants Twitter to be obliterated. And then there's another part of me that's like, yeah, but this gives me so much entertainment. Just thinking about this person writing this take,
I know,
and having this opinion and thinking it's right enough to tweet it out to their 1,000 person following, yeah, and then not realize, oh no, I was wrong. It's just, it's, oh my God. Yeah. Why didn't Yankee fans cheer, you know, golf clap for David Ortiz after he hit a walk-off home run at Yankee Stadium? It was run number 50 for him, right, on the season.
Yeah.
And then they can go back to booing him. Like, what, right, what an, it's a, it, it kind of harkens back to that first question off the top from Nick was, another situation. Have you ever in your life heard anybody tell another fan base besides ours?
Exactly.
To do that. Has it ever happened? Did Bears fans say, you know what, Brett Favre just he threw his 30th touchdown of the season. Yeah. We're gonna cheer for him here in freezing cold Soldier Field, and then we'll go back to booing him.
I don't understand why Falcons fans weren't happy for the Patriots for winning the first ever Super Bowl to go into overtime. You know, I mean, that's a notable accomplishment. You know, so what if they blew a 28-3 lead in the fourth quarter and then lost in the most devastating fashion possible and still have no Super Bowls to, you know, why don't they recognize the moment and like clap? I don't understand. Anyway. So yeah, that was a little nuts, and you definitely took mine. And I just wanted to say that, you know, that Wish's answer was all of us. So there you go. Thanks again for listening. Don't forget to sign up at patreon.com/islandersanxiety for more. And we'll be back on Monday with a new episode of Islanders Anxiety. All right. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.